Now, an angel of the Lord, this is, by the way, let me give you some background. Philip the evangelist, this is after the day of Pentecost, you know, there's persecution, they go out far and wide and they're preaching the gospel, and Philip the evangelist goes down to Samaria and has a healing revival. Philip's out there, man, miracles are busting out right and left. Even Simon the sorcerer is impressed. He's like, man, you know, I want some of that stuff. And so all this stuff goes on, you know, the apostles come down, they lay hands on people, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord, who?
Angel.
Thank you. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. What did he do?
Spoke.
He appeared to Philip and he spoke to him and he said, gave instructions, arise, go down towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. Sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet in verse 29. Then the Spirit spoke to Philip, said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading? New Testament occurrence here. Who speaks to Philip the first time?
Angel.
Who speaks to him the second time?
Spirit.
So one does not supersede the other. Just because you have one doesn't mean you can't have the other. In fact, they work pretty good together. I think it was a great result there. The angels were working. The Spirit was working. They were kind of complementing one another, working hand in hand. So to say, well, you know, I don't expect angels to do anything. We got the Holy Spirit. What do you need angels for? Well, ask Philip. So yeah, absolutely. I want God to move mightily through His Holy Spirit. I pray that He would amaze and astound us with His moves of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would come expecting God to do mighty works through His Holy Spirit. But I am also open to the fact that if He wants to use His angels to bring blessings, man, bring it on. Bless me to your heart's desire. I'm standing with open arms. I'll take it. Thank you very much. Praise God. And I pray that this doesn't appear flippant at all. It's my heart's desire. I feel so passionately about this, that my heart's desire that we are open to allow God all the freedom He wants to have to do what He wants to do in our midst, with a discerning spirit as well. An open heart and open eyes. Open heart and open eyes. So, the ministry of the Holy Spirit does not replace or supersede the ministry of angels. In fact, I would love a two-fisted weapon when I go to battle against the enemy, man. I want the Holy Spirit in one hand, angels in the other, and, you know, right, left, boom, boom, take them out. Now, as I just said, a word of caution is absolutely in order. There is balance here, okay? I don't mean that we go off on some tangent and get weird and you know, get involved in some, you know, unbiblical doctrine or anything like that. We don't want to be cavalier. Just, you know, we just don't want to accept everything as face value, because Scripture also issues words of caution. There are deceiving spirits. You can be led astray if you're not careful. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So just because you see an angel doesn't mean you just say, cool, man, what do you want me to do? In fact, rather than that, in 1 John 4:1, where it tells us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So he doesn't say, you know what, there's demonic spirits out here, there's deceiving spirits out here, so when you see a spirit, man, just reject it altogether. Close the door, shut yourself up, and don't have anything to do with that stuff, man. There's better places you can go to church down the road. He doesn't say reject the spirits, he says what to the spirits? Test the spirits. Test them. Find out, do they serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. So we want to be discerning. And you know what? I think God, frankly, my bottom line at this point, I'm still investigating this thing. In fact, Missy and I are going to go down in a couple of weeks. He's going to be in North Carolina, this guy, Todd Bentley. We've arranged to be present when he's there on June 19th. We're going to check it out firsthand. And, you know, frankly, I think that God is doing mighty work there. I'm convinced of that. Now, is it perfect? I think there's, you know, there's some flaws there. And I think, you know, a little spiritual oversight and correction could be needed in a couple places. I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater, though. But I want to go down over there with an open heart and with open eyes and bring back a good report and then see, you know, compare things with Scripture. What's happening? One of the criticisms against Todd Bentley is that one time he encountered an angel, and I think there might be a little something to this. He encountered an angel that he said brought financial blessing. He's had this vision. He saw this angel come in, giving forth this blessing, and within a couple days, a couple people donated checks to the ministry of like $16,000 and $17,000. That in itself is nothing wrong with that, but he said that the angel had feminine features and that the angel's name was Emma. Okay. Now, whenever angels are mentioned in Scripture, they are, and when it talks about the features in terms of gender, they are all masculine angels, whenever you see them. Now, it doesn't give the gender features of every angel in the Bible. Most of the time it just says an angel. But when it does give them a name, usually it's always a man's name. When it talks about them generally, they tend to be masculine in nature, have masculine features. So this should have been, in my opinion, this should have been a red flag to him. Use a little discernment. You know, if this angel comes in and it's feminine and has a feminine name, well, a little red flag should come up. Do a little testing. Use a little discernment. Because as some people had said, well, you know, it might have been, you know, a deceiving spirit of some kind. Now, the angel didn't preach any gospel to him, any doctrine or false doctrine or anything like that. So it's not like he got, you know, like Joseph Smith, the Mormon guy, who the angel gave him all this doctrine and he went out writing books and promulgating false gospel. Just made an appearance and, you know, the guy got blessed. But, you know, some people say, you know, you need to be discerning. This could have been a fallen angel. Well, it could have been. I'll allow for that. I'm not going to say it was necessarily, but I'll allow the possibility it very well could have been. But, you know, it does raise some interesting questions because, think about this. Demons are fallen angels, right? Would everybody agree with that? If all angels are masculine, then even fallen angels are masculine. So if this was a deceiving spirit and it's feminine, what happened? I came up with three possibilities. I don't know. Number one, maybe there's feminine angels that we don't know about. I don't lean towards that. I mean, you know, Scripture doesn't say there are no feminine angels. You know, actually it says it's, you know, it's kind of more, you know, neutral about that. It just, all the angels we see are masculine. So that leads me to believe that that's probably the case. I can't say, you know, airtight, definitively, dogmatically that Scripture says that angels are always men. But I can say that it builds quite a strong case in that it's probably the case they're always men. So possibility number one, maybe there's feminine angels we don't know about. I don't think so. They're always referred to as sons of God. So, interesting thought. Okay, so possibility two. Maybe this particular angel had a sex change. And again, I'm not being flippant. I'm just saying, okay, what are the possibilities? Well, you know what? I think that's probably not likely at all. In fact, I give that right up around impossible. No, toss it out. I don't think that's the case. Possibility number three. This was a deceiving spirit showing itself as effeminate because it had some other agenda in mind. Could have been. I think that's most likely of the three. And some people have done some research and said, well, you know, there's a Japanese pagan deity known as Emma O. This one was named Emma. Is it possible that they're the same thing? I think the possibility is there. Again, I can't say dogmatically that it was or it wasn't. But I think, you know, bottom line was, my opinion, he should have tested the spirit. I think he got duped on that one, you know? Swing and a miss. Fiona.
Drop the girl in a church, and they had spread like a drug
Wow. Yeah, so there's other options too, you know, and so I think the bottom line is, yeah, I think he missed on that one. I think his leadership, whoever he's accountable, and hopefully it's somebody, I guess Fresh Fire Ministries overall, probably should have come to him and said, Todd, don't think you got it that time. Gene. Excellent. Okay, so there's been some check and balance then. Amen. You know, and online you see most of the time of these debates, people, you know, I'm not even going to go down this whole rabbit trail. But I think you can discern and make corrections. Oh. Okay. Amen. So I think, you know, what does that call us to do? I think it calls us to say, open heart, open eyes, you know. Don't let this quench the spirit. Don't let this say, well, you know, I don't want God to do anything supernatural because I might be deceived. I would say, you know what, just be all the more diligent. Because in a great move of God, and we're going to look at this next week too. Jonathan Edwards wrote a big 400-page piece about what was happening during the Great Awakening. And he said, the reason I wrote this is because during this massive move of God in American history where society was literally transformed by the gospel, he saw not only amazing things that God was doing, but many works of the flesh and many works of the enemy, so much so that it was creating confusion. So even during the Great Awakening, there was a need for discernment. So I would say, open heart, open eyes. And along those lines, let me just say a couple things. One, Bentley is not advocating worship of angels. People have said, you know, and they quote the scripture to him, you're not supposed to worship angels. He's not advocating that. He doesn't seek them out. He doesn't ask anything from them. He prays to God and just trusts and hopes that God will send angels, and that's, you know, the basic operation. Now, some quick guidelines. Based on that, number one, I hope you agree, it is reasonable to ask God to minister to us through his angels. Amen? Number two, it is not reasonable to initiate contact with angels. Rather, we should go to the Lord. Amen. Number three, it is reasonable to communicate with angels if they initiate the contact. Happens all the time in Scripture. The angel comes, hi, I'm the angel. Okay, what do you want? Number four, test to make sure they are consistent with the holy angels and that they do in fact serve Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Number five, Scripture tells us that we may encounter angels as some have entertained angels unawares, Hebrews 13:2. And it tells us that so that because God wants us to be aware that we may have encounters with angels. And so we should act appropriately when that takes place. Remember, almost half of the references to angels are in terms of encounters with people. Gene.
It seems like angels must be very involved in Jesus' ministry because when he first started his ministry, and he saw Nathaniel under the tree, and Nathaniel was very impressed because he said, I saw you under the tree, whatever Samuel was doing, Nathaniel was doing the praying, whatever.
How about that? Amen. Absolutely. Angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In fact, he said at the cross, hey, I could ask my Father, he would send 12 legions of angels. Matt.
That's going to be one of the key tests that whether you're talking to false prophet or an angel.
Amen. Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven declare to you a gospel other than what you've received from us, let that person be accursed. The gospel is what Scripture says it is. Okay. So, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Do be discerning, and do, please, be open to what God may be doing through His ministers at this time, down in Florida, over North Carolina, or even here in Queenstown. Let me close with a testimony. Dear brother of mine asked for prayer recently because he saw some evidence that somebody might be planning to in some way harm him and his family, and asked that we would pray that God would protect them. And so we did. We prayed, and I prayed for him to have a hedge of protection around him and prayed that the angels would stand guard around him. And you know what? I was so greatly encouraged after all the study about what God does with these angels. You know, when I think about that, I pity the fool that comes against my brother now that we have prayed for him. Because, frankly, he does not know what he is messing with. And we prayed that God would, in fact, send forth His holy angels to stand guard and protect this brother and his family. And you know what? I believe God will do and has done exactly that. And as I said, I pity the fool that comes again, that moves to harm or hurt him in any way, because he is coming against the armies of heaven. And I was so encouraged, and my prayer became so much bolder and so much freer and so much more passionately empowered because of that knowledge that Scripture gives us, that we are not alone. There are greater, you know, what did Elisha say? There's more of them than there is. There's more of on our side than there is on the other side. Praise God. And we can go out bold, confident, and encouraged that God has armies working on our behalf. Gene. Oh, absolutely. You may always give a testimony.
How do you do it? Just talk at it? Okay. But about 34 years ago, I had a baby, and she was born with a very serious heart defect. The valves were transposed, and they shipped her to John Hopkins. And they planned to just do a small operation and to put some kind of hole in her heart. So that they could wait until she was 6 months old and then operate on her again. She'd be stronger then. But somehow they let an intern do the operation, and he tore her heart. So at 4 days old, they had to go in and do this very, very complicated operation. And I couldn't go over there because, you know, I was still weak from having her. So my husband went over there. And while he was over there and while they were operating on her, of course, I was in my bedroom praying. And as I was kneeling there praying, I had a vision in my head, and I saw what looked like the operating table and all these doctors leaning over the operating table. And then all of a sudden, I saw something come down really swiftly, just like that. It was like a flash of lightning, and stand at the top of this table that I could see. And it was much, much taller than anybody else. And all of a sudden, out of the center of that little, that operating table, it looked like just a little bird just fluttered up like that. And as it fluttered up from the center of the table, this huge figure at the top of the table just swept up like that. And it's always been a great comfort to me to know that God sent an angel to take my little girl home. So I really do believe in angels. Because when that happened, at the time I didn't really know, you know, I didn't want to believe she died. I started singing in the spirit, and it was such a triumphant, glorious song. And so I thought, oh, this means that everything's okay. But my husband came home not too long after that and, you know, told me that she had gone on to be with the Lord. But that has been such a comfort to me all these years that the Lord gave me that vision. And I've read things since then about, you know, that's a similar way, you know, that God sends angels for children. So that's I believe in angels.
So this is not just sensationalism. This is where we live. Amen. Amen. Father, I just want to pray right now, Lord, that you would grant us to understand the amazing things that you have shown us in your word, Lord, about the reality of the spiritual world, that you have, Lord, all of heaven on our side, God, that we don't have to live in fear or be afraid. You've given us your Holy Spirit, spirit of power and of love and of sound mind and self-control, and you have surrounded us with your warriors, God, to minister to us, to guard us and protect us, to bring your encouragement and your directions, Lord. And we just want to worship you and thank you that you are the amazing, incredible God that you are, Lord. Help us to walk in the fullness of your gospel, in the fullness of your truth, Lord. Help us to walk a straight line and not to turn aside to the right or the left, but help us to inherit all the fullness that you have for us and to do all the things that you've called us to do through all that you've given us to do it, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are dismissed. If anybody would like prayer for any reason, we'd be delighted to pray with you. Amen.